A copy of God's Word. Oh my goodness, I ask you to stand. That's what kind of night it is anyway, amen? The goodness of God. Yeah. Y'all good up there? Y'all looking good? All right, Psalm 23. I'm going to read the first six verses, the only verses in this chapter. We're going to read them together. Y'all ready? Psalm 23, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come out to your house tonight to worship you, the true and living God tonight. Father, we thank you for this year that you gave us in 2024. Lord, I thank you for this year, Lord God. I thank you for what a blessing it has been, Lord God. I don't look at the burdens throughout the year. I want to look at the blessings and how good it's been just to be in your presence. Lord, I pray for the next few moments tonight, you guard my throat and guard my thoughts, illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue, let me speak what needs to be spoke, what doesn't need to be said. I pray that you hush me down on it, Father. Let everything said tonight be all about you. And that you get all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Lord, I just ask you to do that tonight. Lord, I thank you for this local body. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's in this building. I thank you for the ones that couldn't come tonight. Lord, I pray you'd bless them real good. And I ask you tonight just to have your will and way in this service. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. And tonight as we come, we're going to look at the caring shepherd tonight. As we read the 23rd Psalm, we see how much the shepherd cares for his sheep. His sheep is prone. I want you to get this tonight. And his sheep, the Lord's sheep, is prone to wander. Every sheep that's ever been in the fold is prone to wander, to prone to get away from the God they love. It says this, it says that the sheep is prone to wander, prone to make mistakes, and must rely on the shepherd to take care of them. In verse number 2, we see that he maketh and he leadeth. There's two things he does there. He maketh and he leadeth. If not, we would not follow the shepherd completely. There is not one person in this room, there's not one person under the sound of my voice would follow Jesus Christ completely if he was not the one doing the leading. Amen that. If you believe it or not, amen it. Because listen tonight, if he didn't do the leading, you would not be doing the following. So tonight I want you to get this. So let's look at the shepherd and what kind of shepherd we have. As I studied this, I wore it out on Kaylee this week as well on one of these points. And we'll get there in just a minute. Man, it just blew my mind and what God does. I want you to look first with me in verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I see tonight, number 1, that he is a compassionate shepherd. He is compassionate in what he does. He never beats you. He never beats you over the head. He never wears you out. He doesn't do them things. It's not the shepherd that we have. He is a compassionate shepherd. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter number 9, in verse number 36 tonight, I want to show you this in the context tonight of the scripture. He says in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36, we see tonight how he is a compassionate shepherd tonight. You say, "Preacher, do you believe he is compassionate tonight?" I believe that wholeheartedly tonight, that Jesus Christ is a compassionate shepherd tonight. And look with me in Matthew 9:36. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes," when he looked out and he saw the multitude of people that had no shepherd, here's how he moved. You said, "Preacher, do you believe that Jesus Christ moves on his people?" I believe it 100%. He says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, sheep having no shepherd." I see tonight that he is a compassionate shepherd. When he looked up and he looked across that congregation, or he looked across them sheep, he realized there was a sheep without any shepherd. And you know what Jesus came to do? He's come to shepherd the flock. He's come to take care of you. He's come to take care of me. He's come to lead you. He's come to lead me. You say, "Do you believe he's compassionate?" I believe that so much that I laid my life down for that tonight. He laid his his life down for you and I. You know what he did when he made the sheepfold there out in the countryside? A shepherd would do. He would make that sheepfold around, and when he came down to the very end there, he wouldn't put a door there. You know what he would be? The shepherd would be the door. He would lay there in that sheepfold to make sure none went out, none come in, that were only the ones that was his. And tonight, can I say to you, that's who Jesus Christ is tonight. He is compassionate because he laid his life down for you, and he laid his life down for me. You said, do you believe that he did that for the whole world? I believe he did that for everybody. I believe he did that for the one that's committed murder. I believe that for the one that stole bubble gum. Hey, from the top to the bottom, it doesn't matter. He is a compassionate Savior. He's wanting everybody to be saved and to come to him, that he would move on them. He was moved with passion to help the ones that he came to save. The ones that he came to seek and to save, he was moved with compassion. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's a compassionate shepherd. He don't make you lie down in a hard place. He doesn't make you lie down in a place that's rough and tough. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. I've been in some hard places this year. A lot of times we find ourselves in hard places, not by the hand of the Father, but by the hand of our own self. Hey, can I say to you tonight, he is a compassionate shepherd. Right where you're at tonight, he's wanting to meet you in the need in your life. He's wanting to meet you there. He says tonight, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Tonight I see he's a compassionate shepherd, but I also see, number two, he is a caring shepherd. Now, he's got compassion to you, he's got compassion to me, and he cares about us. Not only does he have compassion, but he cares. I've seen a lot of people that's had compassion that did not care. Last night we was coming from Tupelo, Mississippi, and I'm talking about the storm was raging, and it was raining, it was going pretty bad, and we was coming down the highway, and it was raining cats and dogs. Not literally cats and dogs, but it was raining pretty heavy. Can I get amen? And we was coming down I-22, and there was this SUV hydroplane and flipped about five times, went off this way down this ravine and landed up against some trees. And we pulled over, and Brandy said, are you going down there? I said, yeah. See, when I seen him, I had compassion. When I seen the truck down in the hole, I had compassion. But you know what? Compassion doesn't always move you. Compassion doesn't always make you get out of the truck. Compassion doesn't always make you pull over. You can see somebody say, oh, bless their heart. Oh, bless them. Oh, bless them. But listen to me tonight. We got a Savior that's got more than compassion. He cares about you. He'll get right in your circumstances. He'll get right where you're at. He'll get right where you're at. And he'll come all the way where you're at, find you where you're at, and help you out. As we went off that ravine, I'm talking about it was raining like you ain't never seen. And there was a man, he climbed out of the car. And I said, are you okay? And the other man was done there before me. He said, I'm good. You know, he said, preacher, what'd you do? I got out of there. Amen. Hey, I done what I felt like God had called me to do. And friends, can I say to you tonight, it's one thing to have compassion, but it's totally different when you care. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He is totally involved in his sheep's life. This shepherd I'm talking about, he has compassion and he cares because he is totally involved in the sheep's life. There's not one sheep that is in his fold that he's not totally involved in their life. He's totally involved. When you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're asleep, he's totally involved. He doesn't clock a card and get in and get out. He stays with you. He is there with you every day of your life. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter number 40 in verse number 11. I want to show you this in the Bible. Isaiah chapter number 40 in verse number 11 tonight. Talking about the caring shepherd tonight and how he cares for you and how he cares for me. He has compassion, but he also cares. There's a lot of people I've seen had compassion, but they didn't care. Jesus ain't like that. He has compassion and he cares. Look with me in Isaiah 40 and verse number 11. Here's how he cares. You say, preacher, how does he care for me? How does he care about what I do? How does he care about what I get into? Does he really care about me? And you say, this is the core. This is the cream of the crop in here tonight. But listen, you and I need to know that he cares. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians getting beat on in this world. And you need to know he loves you and he cares for you. Hey, don't get out there as a lone ranger thinking he's done forgot about you. Look what he says in Isaiah 40 and verse number 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. What's he going to do? He's going to feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. So what does that mean, preacher? What is he going to do? He is going to take his old big hand. He's going to take his hand. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you, and he's going to hold you. It said that he takes his lambs into his bosom. What does that mean? He picks you up and carries you along life's way. When it gets rough and it gets tough and you don't know what to do, you remember tonight that you've got a shepherd that cares about you. I see he's compassionate, He doesn't beat you. You say, oh, now, preacher, he whoops and beats. No, he don't. He put all the beating on his son on the cross of Calvary. Come on now. He put all the punishment on the son Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He was your substitute. He was my substitute. He was hung on the cross of Calvary. He took all the beating. He took all the shame. He took it all on the cross. Oh, glory. He took it all on the cross. That we don't have to take it down here. He's compassionate. He's caring. But let me show you this. Also, he's courageous in what he does. He is courageous in what he does. He's a courageous shepherd. Look with me, if you will, to John chapter number 10 and verse number 15. I want to show you how courageous this shepherd is. John chapter number 10 and verse number 15. I see he's compassionate. I see he's caring, but I also see he's courageous. He is a courageous shepherd. There's not nothing going on in your life that he won't get involved in. Not nothing. Not nothing. Look with me in John 10, 15. And here's what he said. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You're talking about courageous. I said this morning, and I believe this 100%. I said this morning that you say, well, I lay down my life for so-and-so. Well, you might choose to lay down your life, but you didn't choose to die for him. The Bible said appointed a man wants to die. You never chose to die. You may choose that part when to die, but you didn't choose to die. When you was birthed into this world, death come your way. Death got to knock it, is knocking at my door. Death's knocking at your door. Death's knocking at everybody's door. And we've got no, we can't choose nothing about it. Only thing we can choose is Jesus Christ to have life through him when this life is over. But death is coming all of our way. But Jesus didn't have to die. He chose to die. He inherited no sin. No sin came upon him. Look what he says, and the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at this tonight. When he laid that life down, he is our only defense. He is our only defense. We have no other defense tonight against the wiles of the devil but our shepherd tonight. The things he's given us in Ephesians 6, all that comes from Jesus Christ tonight. But here's the point I want to stay on for just a little bit. It really just got me encouraged. I see tonight that we have a shepherd that's compassionate. We got a shepherd that cares. We got a shepherd that's courageous. But we got a shepherd that knows how to count. That knows how to count, Brother J.D. He said, preacher, how do you... Ooh, glory. He said, he maketh me. Amen. He leadeth me. And I want to share this with you. We got a shepherd that counts. Look in Luke 15, 4. I want to stop right here for just a minute and really pound this home. We got a shepherd that counts. I look in this room on Sunday morning, and it's packed to the gills from one end to the other. We come back on Sunday night. Brother Bradley, you preach Sunday night. Like a ghost town. Discouraging. Come back on Wednesday night, Brother Jake, you preached like a ghost town. Discouraging. But you know what? Tonight I realized something. He's the shepherd, and they're his sheep. And he counts them. And he knows when they're astray. He knows when you're astray. He knows when I'm astray. You said, I won't never. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. Every sheep is prone to wonder. Every sheep is prone to wonder. Every sheep is prone to mess up. You said, not me, preacher. Oh, yes, sir. When you think you're not prone to wonder, you'll be the first one to wonder. When you think you're not prone to mess up, you'll be the first to mess up. Nobody knows that they've wandered away until the shepherd goes looking for them. Please get this tonight. Please, I mean, chew on this for a minute. No sheep knows that they're out of the will of God until the shepherd knows it first. You just don't get out there and wonder and decide, well, I'm going to go back home. You can't find your way back home. You don't get out there and wonder and say, well, I'll go back to church. I'll get back in fellowship when I want to. You don't have that authority. That authority ain't yours. It ain't mine. When I wander off and I get out of the will of God, it's not for me to come back. It's for him to come looking for me. I don't have enough sense to come back. I told you this morning that a sheep don't have no homing device in them. They don't know how to get back home. They don't know how to get to Calvary. They don't know how to get to the cross. They don't know how to repent. They don't know that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. If he don't do it, you won't be there. If he don't do the pulling and he don't do the drawing. And you say, preacher, I don't believe that one bit. If I'll come back when I get ready to come back. No, you won't. Luke 15:4, man, I've been studying this. It got on my heart real heavy. Luke 15:4, look what he says here tonight. Man, I'm telling you how God loves you and he's got you in his protection tonight. If you've wandered away and you're back, you better thank God. I'm thanking God tonight. There's times I've wandered, and I thank God that he didn't let me make the decision I wanted to make. You said, preacher, listen. He gives me that opportunity, that free will. But listen to me tonight. He also starts pounding on that heart. Don't go that way. I'm the shepherd, you the sheep. Trust me, if you go that way, it's dangerous. Look here tonight, Luke 15:4. What man of you having 100 sheep? Can I say every shepherd knows how many sheep he's got? He knows who's his, and he knows who's not his. We try to make people sheep that ain't sheep. If you've never been born again, you're not a sheep. You try to bring, and I try to bring people to the level that I'm at in Christ Jesus, and when they don't get there, we get discouraged, and we get all this, and we wonder why. And maybe because God's not elevated them there yet. You say, you think you're better than everybody, preacher? No, I don't think I'm better than nobody. There's some things I've been through, some things you've been through, and you know it's made your walk a whole lot sweeter because you had to go through them valleys. It ain't always mountaintops that grow you. It's the valley. The mountaintop's sweet, and the valley's a lot of times bitter. Man, listen to this tonight. We got a shepherd that counts. He knows tonight. He knows you. He knows your name tonight. You're written down tonight if you're his. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, did not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Listen, I never see in that text where the sheep goes looking for the shepherd. Nuh-uh. The shepherd's going to look for the sheep. He said, how many of you have 100, lose one of them, and don't go looking for him? Can you imagine that shepherd, Brother Hagin? He gets in there and there's Tony Woodham. There's JD. There's Brother Brent. There's Brother Kevin. There's so-and-so. And then he gets there and he says, but where is Hagin Scott? Where is B.J. Mills? You know what I'm saying? He knows if I'm where I'm supposed to be. He knows if you're where you're supposed to be. Look what he says tonight. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, if he don't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Can I say to you, the shepherd will find his sheep. And when he hath found it, when he finds it, I didn't see where the sheep's happy. The shepherd's happy. Never seen where the sheep was happy. I seen where the shepherd's happy. And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he come home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice for me. Come on, talk with me. Rejoice with me. Let's have a good time. For I found my sheep, which was lost. He said, preacher, why does he count? Why does he worry? I say to you in John 10:7, it's because he's the door of the sheep. He's the door. The only way the sheep can get out is through him. You had to go through him to get out into the wilderness. You had to go through him to get out. You had to go through him. The whole time he was trying to go that way, the whole time I was trying to go that way, the Holy Ghost telling me, don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go that way. He is the door of the sheep. In John 10:7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I see he's the door of the sheep. I see he's the director of the sheep. Not only is he the door, but he's the one that does the direction. At nighttime, he puts his sheep up. In the daytime, he lets them go out. He lets them go out into the field, eat, and do their thing. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I see not only is he the door, I see not only is he the director, but he is the one that discovers when a sheep's missing. He's the one that discovers when a sheep's missing. Now, you and I, if so-and-so ain't where they ought to be, we may make a wrong judgment why they're not where they're supposed to be. Huh? Talk to me, somebody. They ain't been here in 2 weeks and make a wrong judgment. Huh? Okay. Can I say to you, the shepherd never makes a wrong judgment. His judgment's right and just. He's the door of the sheep. He's the director of the sheep. And he is the one that discovers a sheep's missing. Luke 15:4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, did not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? He wants to make sure that his sheep is where they're supposed to be. Do you not wonder why when a sheep wanders away, they're miserable? It's because the sheep, the shepherd's looking for them to bring them back home. I want to read this story to you right here that was given to me, was told to me, was ever how you want to do it, my brother Austin Price. I want you to listen to this very good. Man, it touched my heart. It was a bright Sunday morning in 18th century London, but Robert Robinson's mood was anything but sunny. Everywhere he looked, there were happy people smiling and waving at one another on their way to church. But Robinson wasn't one of them. In fact, he was a very lonely and unhappy man. The sound of the church bells reminded him of the time in his life when his faith was strong and the church meant so much to him. But that seemed like only a distant memory on this morning. It had been years since he had been even set foot in a church. He had gotten away from the Lord and spent the last several years delusionalized, wandering farther and farther away from the God that he had once loved so much. His love for God that was once so hot and passionate. Boy, does that not sound like us today? Whew! Had slowly burned out, leaving him dark and cold inside. Robinson heard the clip-clop, clip-clop of a horse-drawn carriage approaching from behind him. Turning, he lifted his hand to hail the driver, but he saw that the cab was occupied by a young woman dressed in her Sunday best who was obviously on the way to church. He waved the driver on, but the woman in the carriage ordered the driver to stop the carriage, which he did. And the woman looked at Robinson and said, "Sir, I'd be happy to share this carriage with you. Are you going to church?" And he was about to decline her offer, but then he paused and said, "Yes, I'm going to church, and I'd appreciate the ride." He stepped into the carriage and sat down beside the young woman. Robert Robinson introduced himself to the young woman and thanked her for her kindness. He noticed that when he told her his name, the woman had a strange look on her face. Then he said, "That's an interesting coincidence." And she then reached into her purse and took out a small book of inspirational writings that she had just been reading on the way to church. She opened the book and handed it to him, and I said, "I was just reading a verse by a poet of the name of Robert Robinson. Are you him?" And he took the book, nodding, "Yes, I wrote these words years ago." "Oh, how wonderful," she exclaimed. "Imagine, I'm sharing her carriage with the author of these very lines." But Rob Robinson barely heard her. He was absorbed in the words he was reading. They were words that would one day be set to music and become a great hymn of the faith. And these are the words he read. "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Seal it for thy courts above." He could barely read the last few lines through the tears that welled up in his eyes. He looked at the young woman and said, "I wrote those words, and I live these words. Prone to wonder, prone to leave the God I love." Woo! Don't ever think you can get to the place where you won't want to leave. In the world we live in, people hurt the ones they love. They'll help a total stranger and hurt somebody they love. Whew. But the young woman responded by saying, "You also wrote, 'Here's my heart, O Lord, take and seal it.' You can offer your heart again to God, Mr. Robinson," she said. "You can open up that heart once again. Take my heart, Lord, and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, come, thy fount." You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Even when the sheep is wandering and going astray, he's always taking care of you. He's always got your best interest at hand. He's always got your best interest at heart. You said, "Preacher, I don't know about that." If you go to reading in your Bible back in the book of Romans, Paul said, "What I would do, I find myself not doing. What I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am." If I can say anything in 2024, ending it out tonight, I want to say this to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's going to be my motto going into 2025. The ones I can help, I'm going to help, Brother JD. The ones I can't help, I can't help. I just can't help. The ones you can help, help them. The ones you can't help. But you do all you can do. That's all you can do. Listen to me. If Jesus Christ can't satisfy them, you sure can't. Let me say that again. If Jesus Christ can't satisfy them, you sure can't. And I'm going to ask you a question. Are you satisfied with Jesus? He's been better than good to me. We've seen this young girl get baptized tonight. What a blessing that is. When we went on that cruise, Brandy had shirts made. And I think Kaylee's was, she was going to be at the buffet line or something like that. No? Okay. I thought yours was left at port. Okay. And Brandy's was have a mental breakdown. Woo! And Ryder's was this crazy, I think it was. And mine was talk to everybody. About halfway through the trip, you know what Brandy told me? She said, quit speaking to people. They're not going to talk to you. But I got something to talk about. Folks, you got something to talk about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We'd sit down at night to fancy eating. Fancy for me. They had about 8 spoons on the table, Brother JD. 8 forks. That boy come to get my fork. I said, I'm still using that one. He's like, no, sir, this thing goes back. You got to clean in there. I done got that and broke in, son. Then got somebody else to spit off of it. Hey, my own's on there. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Holly. That one, you know, cup had a lipstick stain on it, y'all know? But you know what was so amazing? Is we sit down at night, Brother Riley and Sister Caitlin, and we sit down at that table to eat. And we didn't have to ask him, you want to bless the food? They didn't have to ask me, do I want to bless the food? When they set that food down, we was a witness one to another. I don't know how many people seen that, and I didn't do it to be seen. But I did do it for this, to let them know who I serve. I don't care what country I am. I don't care where we're at. We're going to just be us full of Jesus. And I thank y'all for that, Brother Riley. I thank y'all for that, Sister Caitlin. I know y'all going through a lot, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We're going to pray for them tonight and lift them up in the name of Jesus. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to help them. Right there where they're set tonight, if that'll be okay, we're going to gather around y'all tonight, Brother Lee. Man, Brother Lee, he's got a lot going on too. I don't know how Sister Denise is keeping her sanity over there. She must be just strong. They got a lot going on as a family. There are other people in here as a family got a lot going on. I know they are. But we're going to gather around tonight. We're going to pray over them, ask God to bless them, ask God to help them meet every need that they got in their life, no matter what it is.